from Podcast One.
Coming up in this episode of Target USA. We've been talking a lot about cyber attacks, and the U.S. is on the front line of all of that. But the cyber war machine, how these attacks take place, and how to defend against them is something everybody around the world is talking about.
We see offensive capability as a normal part of defensive strategy.
And more countries are gearing up to develop and use cyber weapons. And Tanel Sepp, head of the Estonian Ministry of Defense's cyber programs, says having a defensive program with no offensive capability is useless. So what do those weapons look like?
Now imagine a military parade. You have a podium with officers and generals all saluting their troops. But instead of troops, you have laptops on tracks.
The future of cyber warfare, coming up on this edition of Target USA.
The National Security Podcast.
From WTOP in Washington, D.C., this is Target USA. Russia
could render huge harm to this country.
North Korea's secret missile
capable of reaching the whole of the United States.
Dangerous terrorist.
D.C. is repeatedly mentioned as someplace they would like to seek an attack.
Cyber criminals.
Decryption successful.
America has a target on its back. And on this program, we investigate the threats, the people behind them, the agencies fighting them, and the impact on you. This is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.
I'm JJ Green. Every country on the planet is thinking about one thing, the next step in the progression of cyber warfare. And there is a disconnect that the U.S. seems to have been stuck in for several years. People all around the country and on Capitol Hill have been raising the issue of more and better cybersecurity practices and cyber warfare capabilities for more than a decade, but very little appears to be getting done. Each day, judging from the people I've spoken to on this very podcast, we draw closer to the prospect of full-scale cyber warfare between nation states, and it seems that the urgency about this is simply not there. Here's an exchange between Maine Senator Angus King and James Robb, President and Chief Executive Officer of the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, on February 14th of this year.
There's a weird calmness about this hearing. This is not calm. The Russians are already in the grid, are they not, Mr. Robb?
Robb didn't respond to that question, but the exchange continued.
Well, there were news reports from a year ago of the Department of Homeland Security releasing screenshots of Russian hackers in the SCADA system. Is that not true?
Again, I'm not in a position to talk with.
Well, can you comment on a public story that something released by the Department of Homeland Security?
No.
You can hear the frustration. So, bottom line, King is worried. A lot of people are worried, because the march toward offensive cyber capabilities is continuing. Russia, according to King, is already there. Other nation states, adversaries of the U.S., are already there. More and more countries are developing offensive cyber capabilities. One of those countries, Estonia, which arguably, if anyone needs a robust cyber war machine, they do, being at the very front line of the West's quiet war with Russia. So what are their tools? What's their plan? What's their timeline? On this program, we talk with Tanel Sepp. He's the Director of Cybersecurity Policy for Estonia's Ministry of Defense.
Well, I cannot give you the exact number of personnel, obviously.
Yes.
But we are talking about in hundreds. What we are doing, or how we have built it up right now, is that Cyber Command's main mission is to carry out cyber operations to support the overall defense and command. And the cyber operations, are divided into four. So these are cyber defensive operations, cyber offensive operations, information operations, as well as communication and IT services provision. So we have put everything together into one big basket. This is mainly because we are a small country, so we need to find these efficiencies, how to make sure that with a small amount of people, small amount of money, we can still do what is expected from us.
The four things: defensive, offensive, IO, information operations, and communications. Do you do a lot of offensive?
Not yet. This is a capability that we are building up. But let me say this also here. We see offensive capability as a normal part of defensive strategy. If I put that in a kinetic world, mm-hmm. you buy a tank to defend yourself. Cybersecurity, without the offensive part, would be having a tank without the turret and the gun. Mm-hmm. So we need to have the possibility to really defend us. Mm-hmm. And only defensive measures are not enough in cyber world, yeah. like in a normal world also.
Now, is that because of the amount of cyber operations or cyber attacks that take place against Estonia or against anyone? Is that the reason why you say that an offensive capability is necessary because of the number, the amount of activity, criminal activity or otherwise, out there?
Well, the increase in malicious cyber activity, it's evident everywhere. I mean, we were the first country to suffer from nationwide cyber attacks in 2007. And that was actually a wake-up call for us. We were already then quite dependent on different e-solutions, e-governance. People were used to using internet and this interaction with the government through internet. And then 2007, it was clearly politically motivated attacks. We lost, us as Estonian people, we lost access to banking sector, to media, to some of the ministries, servers were down. It was quite an event. But at the same time, we say that it was disruptive and not destructive. Mm-hmm. And we actually managed to get up again. I mean, our enemies can force us to our knees, but what is really our ability is to get up quickly. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of part of our resilience. These attacks in 2007, these were this DDoS attacks or distributed denial of service attacks. And these were not too sophisticated, I would say. Yeah. Today, we can see almost every day these kind of attacks. Of course, we have developed. And this is one thing that I can easily say that the Estonian government has been doing right. We just did not identify the lessons mm-hmm. from 2007, but we really learned this. So building up our first national cybersecurity strategy next year, then that was in 2008. And now we are already in our third iteration mm-hmm. and really thinking beyond. We're thinking about how to preserve this society, like e-society, how to deal with the R&D issues, and again, in the new environment, how to better protect Estonian and Estonia and Estonia's interests.
Mm-hmm. The nuts and bolts, ballpark figure of what your budget looks like for something like that. You know, percentage wise, in terms of the overall Defense Department's. You know, I don't need an actual number, but I'm just, you know, some idea. Is cyber like half or a quarter or 50% or 20% or 10%? Just, I'm trying to get an idea of just how important cyber is against the rest of whatever the Ministry of Defense has to deal with.
That is a difficult question, and I'm not able to give you a certain percentage here. Mm-hmm. because if you take any defense budgets in different countries, then you're already dealing with this kind of kinetic effects. You take any rockets that could cost hundreds of thousands. You take the fighter jets that cost millions. So, and in comparison, you might take just a one server park that could cost a half a million. Mm-hmm. So these proportions are just too different cost-wise. So in this sense, I would not compare it to the overall defense budget.
Yeah. I guess, Mr. Sepp, my question is, a lot of what happens in the cyber world is invisible.
Yes.
To the naked eye. You know, it's a man-made domain that, you know, we don't see. But in the kinetic world, as you mentioned, there are tanks, there are airplanes, there are people, there are weapons. So I'm trying to get an idea of what's in the cyber defense world that you work in, and how it compares to the rest of. It doesn't have to be budget numbers or figures. I'm just trying to get a good look at what's in that world.
2 points here. First, your question reminds me of one cartoon.
Of what?
One cartoon.
A cartoon?
Yeah, it's a Estonian cartoon. And it's on the webpage of Estonian Defense League, and they have their own voluntary cyber defense unit. And on this defense unit's webpage, you can find this cartoon. Now, imagine a military parade. You have a podium with officers and generals all saluting the troops. But instead of troops, you have laptops on tracks. And that's really a good picture, in a sense that even I think it was drawn as a kind of joke or a fun picture, but it really shows
the reality
and what you were asking. How do you visualize cybersecurity? If politicians during a campaign they say that, yes, I will commit to cybersecurity, I will spend $500,000 on cybersecurity, or $1 million, $5 million. How do you prove that afterwards? How can the constituents take the politician to his or her word? Mm-hmm. I don't know that. But at the same time, you can still look it through the resilience. How secure is your system? What's the number of successful attacks, and how you deal with that. So, that is one part of here. The second point that I want to make is that our goal is really kind of to create this larger ecosystem here. If we first take the military domain, we have our cyber command, we have our cyber range. And cyber range is a normal range. You would have a shooting range in the kinetic world. Well, cyber tools you need to also test in a protected environment. So we have our quite capable cyber range that we have offered also for NATO. We have the NATO's Cyber Defense Center of Excellence host that is in Estonia, and we are a framework nation for that. We have also the academia that deal with different topics. We have, I mentioned the Cyber Defense Units at the Defense League, that's a voluntary organization. And then we have also our industry. So putting all this together, this is an ecosystem for us, where we can provide different services for also foreign companies, to our allies. And then this is what we really want to drive for, so that besides building our own capabilities, that we could offer also for our friends. Because through this more extensive cooperation, we can also gain more for our defense.
Do you look at your cyber command as in the same way as you look at your army? I mean, it is its own command, and it's viewed that way. Its own division of the Department of Defense, not a subdivision or something.
It's an integral part of Estonian Defense Forces. The cyber commander reports directly to our chief of defense.
Okay.
But at the same time, I have to say, cyber is in its essence, I would say, slightly different. Because cyber affects every other branch.
Right. That's what I thought.
So, and at the same time, it still needs to be kind of separate tool in the toolbox. What we are right now doing also through our capability development, we are writing also different documents for the cyber command to operate. And one of these main things that I think many countries struggle and that we are facing also right now is how to really integrate cyber into military planning and operations. And the question here is not just some documents that you put cyber, you just insert the word cyber into different places, but how to really change the mentality, how to make the leadership, both military and political leadership, understand what could be the cyber effects, where they should invest. Because cyber capabilities are not cheap. Developing any specific tool takes time, takes resource.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And once you deploy a certain tool, it might be obsolete the next second. So you really need to look at this cost effect benefit here.
Yeah. This whole world of yours is so complex, but at the same time, it's very simple. You have to be able to engage in the cyber world. You have to understand it, you know, to see it. And you know, once you see it, once you visualize it, then you have to, I suppose, think about adversaries and their capabilities, and that requires research and, as you said, development, etc. So what is the most difficult part of the work right now for you and your team?
That is a good question.
Finally. Finally.
No. You've had an excellent question so far. I think it is about managing everything. And we do not have many people. Again, I'm coming back to this resource issue. That money is one resource. And money can be obtained. If you have good ideas, especially in cyber field, it's feasible. You can get additional money also. Either from outside sources or elsewhere. But the point is here, people.
Sorry?
The point here is about people.
About people.
How to get qualified people and I cannot expect any experienced person to work for me because there is not such experience yet. We are talking about developing cyber policies, different regulations, and this is not a technical topic. You need to understand a bit that technology, and you need to be interested in technology. But putting that on kind of political level, you don't have this people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of these key challenges is to educate enough people. To make sure that we have successors to us, that we have enough people to understand this, and this translates also to higher levels, because one of these tasks that we still need to continue to do is to translate cyber into a language that is understandable to politicians.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen on many occasions when people meet on high levels and both agree that yes, cyber is important, let's take another topic.
And is that because they don't really understand, they really haven't, don't have the ability to envision it or visualize it?
I believe that they understand that cyber is important, but they don't comprehend how. Mm. And sometimes some people think that cyber is just too technical. Let's leave that for the techies to talk about. But no, cyber is not just a technical issue. It has real effects on politicians also, and on how politicians need to decide.
So how, Mr. Sepp, do you make that clear to them? How do you explain that to them? How do you show them that?
That is a perfect question, because I think...
I'm getting better.
Because I think we have found a formula. In the second half of 2017, Estonia had the presidency role of the European Union, the Council of the European Union. And everybody was expecting us to do something exciting in cyber, also from MOD, and we were thinking hard. And finally, we came up with the idea to do a cyber exercise for ministers of defense. It was a bold idea, because we knew that also the high representative, Federica Mogherini, would be in Estonia, the Secretary General of NATO would be attending that the same meeting, but we did it. And I think our success was in finding the right questions to pose to the ministers. We presented them a scenario. We explained the effects, what cyber has on different things. And then we asked two main questions. First one was, how do you assess the situation? Because that is a political question, actually. And based on the information that we gave them, they had to choose. We gave them multiple choice. So they had to pick the most relevant. The second question was, how do you communicate that? Again, the right question to politicians, because they are the voice outside. So it was quite interesting to see when we posed these questions on several times throughout the scenario. I mean, it was an escalating situation. And we saw that already at one point, some ministers thought that a ransomware attack could be already classified as an armed attack. Hmm. And now this is really interesting. They had a choice from just a technical glitch to armed attack, all these different kind of choices. But they saw how this attack affected critical infrastructure, for example. And they considered, at least some ministers considered that to be an armed attack. Mm-hmm. And the aftermath of that, I mean, that if you decide something to be armed attack, that opens up different doors. But that takes also boldness. So one of the conclusions we had there was that you constantly talk about this gap between politicians and technicians. But this exercise actually showed that there's a gap also between politicians and officials. Because if you had officials playing that game, you would not have got to, this armed attack choice. So we worked hard on building up this exercise. And afterwards, we heard really good feedback also from the ministers that it was really useful. That finally somebody really took them to exercise these kind of things and explained what was happening.
In that regard, you made a bold move, and it paid off because you actually were able to get these folks to see what they needed to do to deal with some of the nastiest of cyber threats that are out there. So that brings me to my next question, and that is... what's the origin of some of the biggest threats that you're seeing right now? Where are they coming from?
Well, I can easily direct you to the yearbooks of the Foreign Intelligence Agency.
That's the one.
Foreign Intelligence.
The annual report.
Foreign Intelligence Service.
The 2019.
2018.
It just came out a few months ago.
Yeah.
I saw that.
You can also look at the yearbook of Estonian Information System Authority. You can look at the yearbook of Estonian Internal Security Service. They all look at the same direction. They show the threat vector. Mm-hmm. That's coming from Russia. That is clear. Of course, we have attacks also from different other countries like China. But with any cyber attack or a cyber campaign, you would also need to look at the context. We haven't had too friendly relations with Russia throughout the years, despite our efforts. So that's already... That should give you the political context. Mm-hmm. You would not have a major cyber attack without any motive. There has to be some motive there. Mm-hmm. I think that the best answer I can give you, because clearly, when we look at our region and the geopolitical picture, the security picture, where are different division lines, then obviously we're looking at Russia.
Mm-hmm. Give us a sense of the level of threat from it. Are these high-level attacks? Are these sophisticated attacks? Or are they just bothersome? How would you describe the threat activity?
I would say that it's nothing abnormal. We haven't had anything... during the past year, let's go even a bit more back. If we take the election intrusion in the U.S., if we take the case in the Netherlands, just recently when they caught guys trying to get into the Wi-Fi networks there with all the equipment, you don't see any news about this kind of activity. So no, nothing really abnormal, which doesn't mean that we should lose our vigilance. Of course, we're looking constantly, mm-hmm. and we're working. The whole Estonia, the different authorities that we have that deal with cybersecurity, we're looking closely together. And one of the things that we will be doing now as some of the next steps is to make sure that we have a better picture, we have a better understanding of what's going on. And at the same time, there's one key aspect also in this that we have not touched upon yet. That's the international cooperation. In cybersecurity, you cannot do it alone.
Yeah.
And we put a lot of emphasis on working with some of the closest partners that we have. And we have also identified these key partners with whom we really want to have more substantive, more close cooperation. And clearly, the U.S. is one of these partners here.
That, Mr. Sepp, was going to be my next question, and I'll make it my next to last question, is how would you assess the cooperation with the U.S.? What are you actually cooperating on? How often, how deep does the cooperation go? What are the commitments there?
Okay, for Estonia, cooperation with the U.S. has been vital and important since we regained independence. We've seen so many different U.S. troops and U.S. equipment and presence here throughout the years. Yeah, and on cyber right now, I would say that our cooperation is more and more practical, pragmatic. Mm-hmm. We have gone beyond this a long time ago. We've gone beyond this just political cooperation where we meet and just talk about things and say that, yes, we see some attacks from Russia. Do you see also some attacks from Russia? Yes, we do. I mean, this is all history. We're doing practical cooperation. And at the same time, I mean, this practical cooperation, that goes with the U.S. AERCOM. And we work closely with the UCOM in Germany. But there's one special partnership. Estonia has had a partnership with the Maryland since 1993. That's when the state partnership program was established, and the Baltic countries were the first ones to join it.
That's Tanel Sepp. He's director of cyber policy at the Estonia Ministry of Defense. This conversation is very revealing and enlightening, and it's much more transparent than any other conversation that we've had with anyone in the U.S. or any other country around the world. We're going to hear more about the Maryland National Guard and its relationship with Estonia as we move deeper into the year. But in the meantime, that's going to do it for this week's program. Coming up on our next episode, North Korea's launched more missiles, and by all accounts, Kim Jong-un appears to be continuing to work on his nuclear arsenal.
He's building a nuclear arsenal to tell the international community, indeed the United States and South Korea, Japan, that nobody should mess with us.
That's Ambassador Joe Detrani, former U.S. Special Envoy for the six-party talks with North Korea. He, better than almost anyone, knows what's at stake, what North Korea's thinking, what the options are, and more importantly, what the course should be for dealing with North Korea. That's coming up on our next episode. If you have any questions or comments, send me an email at jgreen@wtop.com. That's the letter J, the color green, one word, at Whiskey Tango Oscar Papa, jgreen@wtop.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at TUSA Podcast. That's at Tango Uniform Sierra Alpha Podcast. And don't forget to sign up for our newsletter. It's called Inside the Skiff, and that's where you get all the latest national and international security news once a week. It happens on Thursday, but you can only get it if you sign up. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. Thanks for your time. I'm very grateful that you've given it to us. Deeply appreciative of it. We'll talk to you next time.
I'm J.J. Green, and this is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.
The hit podcast based on the Emmy-nominated A&E series Cold Case Files is back with new episodes on Podcast One. Listen to powerful stories of crimes almost forgotten by the passage of time, with interviews of people involved as investigators shine a new light on these cases and bring those responsible to justice. Download new episodes of Cold Case Files every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Now, stay tuned for the latest headlines from the Associated Press.